And we're going to look at, well, the whole chapter, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We'll just start, look at verse 1 and 2 and then jump, I think, to verse 15 and to the end of the chapter. Verses 1 and 2, just to kind of bring us up to date as to what's going on. Genesis 48 and verse 1, it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, your father is sick. Now that's Jacob, or the name is Israel. It's got changed, but Jacob or Israel, that's the person we're speaking about. Behold, thy father is sick, and he, that is Joseph, took with him to visit his dad before he died, his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up upon the bed. Verse 15, and he's blessing the children, Jacob is, which is what they did in the Old Testament times, and actually later as well. And he, that is Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. And his father refused, and he said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And so Jacob blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel, that is Jacob, said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow. Before we get going here, my desire is that we would find this particular statement, the statement I'm going to look at in verse 21. We would find this statement and apply it to our own hearts and be able to say, each and every one here, what is being said, what Jacob is saying to Joseph. Verse 21, behold, I die. And we're all going to say that. But God shall be with you. God shall be with you. That's my desire for each one here. God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Good old Jacob could no more be with his son Joseph, for his hour had come to die. But he left his son without anxiety, for he said with confidence, God shall be with you. When our dearest relations or our most helpful friends are called home by death, we must console ourselves with the reflection that the Lord is not departed from us, but lives for us and abides with us forever. Now, I don't know why, maybe folks that I know that are getting older, but I thought how beautiful this setting was. Jacob didn't deny that he was getting ready to die, and we know that shortly thereafter he did depart. And we're all going this way. Unless the Lord comes back again, we're all going to die. But to leave those who remain with such confidence and, as he says here, without anxiety. What am I going to do? Mom and dad are gone. What am I going to do? This and that. The person I looked up to. If you can say this from your heart, God is with you, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But I want us to take a closer look at Jacob or Israel in the same verse. Look it with me in we know verse 1. He's our father is dying. He's sick. And he took his two sons, Joseph, took his two sons with him to visit him. But look at what Jacob says in verse 11. And Israel, that is Jacob, said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face. Remember, he thought Joseph was dead. But the Lord had other plans. So he said, I didn't think I was going to see your face. And lo, God has showed me also your children. So God was gracious and was better to Jacob than what Jacob thought. He says, I lost my son. Well, you know, Benjamin and Judah. Woe is me, you know, my favorite, the Joseph, the coat, the one I made the coat for. But the Lord brought him back. And so there's a lot of things that we fret about and we think may happen, and it never turns out. But God was gracious to Jacob. But look at verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God, the only God, which fed me all my life long unto this day. Now, is there anybody here that's missed a meal regularly? No. I'm not saying that bad things are not going to happen in the future, or what we humans call bad. But Jacob's testimony to his son and his grandsons was, God has fed me all my life. And look with me at verse 21. He says, I'm dying, but God shall be with you. And he was confident through Abraham and through the promises that were before he understood. He says that they saw Abraham and his prodigy and Jacob. He saw, Christ said, they saw my day and rejoiced. And we'll get back to this point, but there's the gospel in this phrase, this one verse that gospel's laid out plainly. But Jacob says, God shall be with you and bring you again to the land. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. Scriptures is clear. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, especially in this chaotic world of chaos. We don't know what it'll bring. We don't know what gladness, wake up to with your spouse there and the joy that's all surrounds that. Wake up to the church still being in Jackson and the gospel still being heard and fellowshipping one with another. We could wake up with gladness. Our children are healthy. Our children are happy to see us. We could wake up with sorrow. Death comes to our door. Death comes to our children, our grandchildren, sickness, disease. We don't know. We don't know. We could wake up with joy. We could wake up with trial. We could wake up with elation or affliction. You wake up, you move your hands. I don't remember that. It used to be, it didn't used to be so stiff. But if we are numbered within God's family, we can have this verse to our account. God shall be with you. It's very specific. It's very particular. God is with his people, his family, his precious bride, his chosen, his elect, his redeemed. And we can say, as Jacob said to Joseph, we can say with the same faith, God shall be with us. Now, what does this book say about God being with us? I'm just going to look at 8, 9 places, and we're going to turn there quickly, or you can just listen. What he said, God has said in this book to his people. Numbers chapter 14, and I think I got them in order. Numbers chapter 14. This is God speaking to Moses, and therefore Moses and his people. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9. God says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, or Moses is saying this, neither fear ye the people of the land, which they are getting ready to go in, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Because it says the same thing. You can apply this to me. I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to meet somebody that I don't care to meet. I got to mingle with people I don't care to meet or whatever, or mingle with. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Fear them not. He said that to Moses, a child. We know Moses was a child of God. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 9. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And again in verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There's not a time that God is not with his people. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 7. Joshua 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This is the great I Am speaking. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, he says, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Now this is Joshua. He's about to die. Just like Joseph before him, just like Jacob before him. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know all in your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass, and not one thing hath failed. Why? Because God was with them. God was with them. And I didn't even think about in 1 Samuel, when, or 2 Samuel, when David's about ready to die, he said, you know, this is all my hope. What? The covenant that God made. Though he makes it not to grow. Though you don't see things happening. You don't see things happening in Jackson. My desire is that my kinsmen, according to the flesh, my current son or son-in-law and daughter and my mom and brothers and sisters in the flesh, that they would know God. He's got to cross their path with the gospel. That they would hear the truth. We look at this is so what God, this is what God told Moses, this is what he told Joshua, it's what he tells David, Psalms 46. Psalms 46, verses 7 and 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This he speaks, David, in this psalm, about himself and about all who name the name of Christ. Psalms 118. 118 verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord is on my side. Now this is not just a bosom buddy. This is not just somebody who is our equal. This is the Lord. This is Yahweh. This is Jehovah God is on our side. How comforting is that? Look at what Isaiah found, what God said to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 7 through 9, one of the most, this is beautiful. Now he says in verse 6, and this is speaking about Christ as well, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. This is, and us, and if we're in Christ, we can apply this to ourselves. But this is speaking specifically. Christ is speaking. The Lord will help me. Therefore, will I not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. The Lord God will help me because he's with me. This is what God said to Isaiah. And what he said in type and picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah, what did he say to Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 19. And they shall fight against thee. And he's speaking about the difficult time that Jeremiah is going to have. But they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you. I'm with you. When you stand up and speak, we heard this morning in Romans chapter 1, and Bruce was talking, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Which word therein is the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. The gospel is about God, about his Son. We have no righteousness. We have none whatsoever. So when I stand up to preach, when you stand up to preach, when you stand up to speak, when you stand up to invite people to come to hear the gospel, they will not prevail against you. I am with you. I am with you. Jeremiah chapter 20. Again, another picture or type of Christ is being said here, but he's speaking to Jeremiah. But this is Christ's cry again. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Well, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Paul, this is what God spoke to Paul. This is what he speaks to every believer. What shall we then say to these things? Everything that was mentioned aforetime. He predestinated us. He foreknows us. We're going to be conformed to the image of his Son, whom he did predestinate. He called, and then he called, he justified. He's speaking to those whom the Son laid down his life. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, if God be with us, who can be against us? Now that word, if, this is rhetorical. And I hadn't thought about this phrase for a long time. It's a rhetorical question. You already know the answer. The answer is obvious. If all these things preceding the verse are to be so, God can't be against you. He can only be for you. If the answer is it's not the way we view it. The answer is obvious. If God is for us, nobody can be against us. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 4. This is what the Lord spoke to comfort John and all who name the name of Christ. In this instance, little children. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, God with you. And do you remember what one of the names of Christ is? Isn't it Emmanuel? God with us. God with us. That amazes me. God with us. If God be with us, we are ennobling company. Even though we are poor and despised, if God be with us, we have all sufficient strength, for nothing can be too hard for the Lord. If God be with us, we are always safe, for none can harm those who walk under his shadow. Oh, what a joy we have here. Not only is God with us, but he will be with us as individuals, as families, with us as churches. Is not the very name Jesus Emmanuel, God with us? Is not this the best of all, that God is with us? Let us be bravely diligent and joyously hopeful. Our cause must prosper. The truth must win, for the Lord is with those who are with him. All this day may his sweet word be enjoyed by every believer who turns to Christ. No greater happiness is possible. Everybody's looking for happiness. It's a touchy-feely society. I want to be happy. I want to do that. Well, we don't count it joy when we're tried with these hard trials, but we know who's with us in these trials, in these times, and therefore we can rejoice. We do not sorrow like the world sorrows. So that was where I closed. But then I thought, well, no, we need to have a second closing. Because I told you our glorious gospel, back to our text, is set forth in this one verse. Let me read it. God shall be with you. That's the first thought. And the second thought is, and bring you again unto the land. God shall be with you. God shall be with you. Well, he better be, or there's no redemption. If God is not with us, there's no redemption. He is with us as our substitute. God with us, our substitute. In Genesis 22, not only is God with us, but he says, verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb for us. If God provided Christ, he will receive us in Christ. If God provided Christ, how holy and pure and exacting must God be? On the other hand, how vile and corrupt and holy must we be? As we can, without, he says, without me, which in John, I think it's 15:5. John, without me, we can do nothing. If God had to provide this lamb, how sinful we must be. He is with us as our righteousness, as our peace, as our merit unto life, pardon, and forgiveness of sins. God with us. Slain for us. Our sins crucified Christ. Yet God is with us, and therefore we will raise again. God must do for us what we can never do for ourselves. What's the scripture say in Colossians 1:27? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the latter part of this, God shall be with you. If Christ started that good work, will he not finish it? And look at this, that last part. And bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Now that's Canaan, and we know that's a picture, a type of heaven. So what God has started, he will finish. What God has provided through his Son, he accepted his Son, and therefore us, by substitution, by blood atonement, by righteousness. God shall bring you unto the land, unto Canaan, heaven. If God has covered us, God will carry us, and that to the land. This is not conjecture. This man is dying. This is truth. And whoever said it, it's in the scriptures. And we know that the scriptures, every word of God is pure. God shall be with you. Can you say that? Can I say that? If he's with you, he will finish the work. God will accept the work. And we shall see him as he is, face to face. That, as the song says, will be glory to me. Bruce, would you close us?